Hi there, it's me, Stefan, from a comedy advice podcast. You might think this is a lot like a lot of the meditation podcasts you're listening to. I tell you to be aware, close your eyes, and just feel. Well, I'm telling you, that's not the case. This is more like the opposite of meditation, really. I don't want you to think about yourself at all, your thoughts. I want you to just sit back like a little drone that you are, and I want you to just laugh. All right, as soothing as that voice is, I'm going to go back to my normal voice. Hey guys, Stefan here. Just wanted to let you guys know you're in for a very special treat today. I treat you well. I'm like your audio sugar daddy. So keep on coming back for more, baby. Anyway, today you're going to listen to Brad Williams, our very special guest. He's been on TV shows like David Tell's Comedy Underground, Live at Gotham, The Tonight Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Mind of Mencia. He's also had two comedy specials on Showtime. He had Fun Size, which is Showtime's highest rated comedy of 2015, followed by Daddy Issues in 2016. And he was also featured on Netflix's comedy show The Degenerates, Season 1, Episode 2. Watch it. This guy is absolutely hilarious. I was cracking up the entire episode. And we just have such a good time. So I want you guys to listen, have a good time with us. And then if you feel it in your heart, support Brad. We've got links to follow him on Instagram. Look for his shows on Brad Williams Comedy so you can see when he's coming to a venue near you. And then for all of our Phoenix listeners, we've got a link to see him live in Phoenix coming up this week, June 4th through the 7th at Stand Up Live. So guys, go check him out. And guys, just wanted to say, I love you. You're awesome. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you guys haven't yet, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a review. I can't stress how important that is. It gets us up in the charts right now. We're still top 30 best improv podcasts of all times in Apple Podcasts, but we want to get to number one. So please, leave that review and tell your friends and family about us and get them to leave a review. The most opportune times are at Thanksgivings, family gatherings. God damn it, that's not a thing anymore with Corona. Okay. Well, the best time now is at Zoom meetings. So get the link and then let people leave a review. All right. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. And oh, my alarm's going off. I guess it must be comedy time.
A comedy advice podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends
to make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy advice podcast.
And I think Brad's coming on. Hello, hello.
What's up?
How's it going, Brad?
Howdy. Going all right, my friend.
By the way, my name's Stefan. My co-host and brother, Anthony, is right over there. And then Eric, he just dropped away to get a drink, but as soon as he comes, we can get started.
Fuck Eric. We don't need him.
That's what I say too. You know what? Let's just go ahead and get started.
What has Eric ever done for the podcast? You're fine.
Seriously. That's what I ask myself every day.
Eric, you look like such an Eric.
I know. I know.
You know, we were actually asking each other, what's the male version of Karen? I think we may have found the answer, Eric.
I mean, Eric would be a top five. I'd say Todd. You know what I mean? Like, definitely, that's definitely a Todd move. I mean, my name's not far beyond. Like, Brad, ugh. Brads are such douches.
So I was saying it can't be just the douchey factor, because a Karen, I was saying, you could picture on like the PTA, but there's a bunch of douchey guys would not be there. So it's not like the frat bro.
Maybe Nathan.
Yeah. But we all agree it's got to be a white guy.
Oh, right? First
100%.
You can't have it be like Alfonso. You know, it's like, ah.
That's too far.
It's funny. I had to change a joke because I used to. So my wife has this friend who I hate. I fucking hate her. And she's involved in our lives. And I didn't want to use her real name on stage. So I went through a couple of different names, and the funniest name that I found was Karen. So I was saying Karen for a while, and then this Karen shit started really picking up, and I'm like, oh, now I can't say Karen. Now I look like a hack. So like I had to pick a new name, and no joke. The new name I picked is Carol, and then Tiger King comes out, and I'm like, fuckers, I have. Yeah, it's so now I'm like, do I stick with Carol, or do I just use the bitch's real name? I don't know what I do.
At that point, do that.
Yeah, have I tried? Yeah, her real name's too long. It's kind of weird. It make people go like, huh?
And then try it out on us.
Yeah, well, it in comedy you can't even for one second, like, if the audience takes a second, just a beat, to go, wait, what? Then your joke is not ruined, but it won't hit as hard as it would. So yeah, like I have to use a very simple name like Karen or Carol or something like that.
I get it. It's kind of like sex. If things are going good and you accidentally say the wrong name, it's still good. It just distracts them for a second, so they don't quite get that. Oh,
all right. Have you ever had something like really weird, like interrupt your sex? Now, Eric, you don't know about this because you haven't been laid, but like when you're having sex, like, stuff could happen that sometimes is in your control, sometimes not in your control. Have you ever had something happen, Steven, where it's like, oh, like a light flickered on and off, the wrong song came on Pandora, ESPN turned on?
That happened yesterday. That's why I was pointing my finger. But yeah, wife and I, we were excited. We just bought a couch, so we had that post couch purchase thrill. And so we were like, let's celebrate and get laid. So we didn't have the couch yet, so we were on the ground. We were like, hey, Alexa, you know what to do. We have it triggered, so that's one of her skills. We say like sexy time, and then she plays a playlist.
Oh, you should change it to be like, Alexa, you know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can make it do that, oh, that's great. Because like, now I've noticed that this doesn't happen so much when you're married, but like when you're dating, the last thing you can actually do when, like the a fast way to make someone, male, mostly women, not want to have sex with you, even if they want to have sex with you, is to say, hey, we're gonna have sex tonight, aren't we? And then done. Not gonna happen. Married people, it's a little different, because married people oftentimes, you know, you live together, or you got your schedules, you have to literally be like, hey, we fucking tonight? Yes, cool. You have to pencil it in. And especially my situation now, where I got a 4-month-old baby, we definitely have to be like, hey, we got like an hour, let's go, you know? So, yeah. So what, you had a song come on that was not a fun song?
By the way, totally get the married thing too, because we're just kind of past the foreplay where it's just like, we're doing it. We almost have a look. I to my wife, I'm like, you know what to do. And she's like, yeah.
Her name's Alexa, by the way.
Yeah. But no, we had her do a playlist, and the playlist was like 90s ska. And so that made things shrink a little bit.
You having sex to Goldfinger?
I was like, babe, you ready for my Goldfinger?
You're having sex with the Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack?
Yeah. Some real big fish.
Everything I can. Like, that's what you're having sex to?
I mean, if you pay attention to the lyrics, though, it does mean it comes across very sexual. I'm doing all the foreplay I can. I'm down there licking, groping, but it just, the music, the melody doesn't match to it.
So here's everyone, for our young listeners that don't know about how to put together a good sex playlist. Here's the key. They have to be sexy songs, but they can't be too popular. Because if they're too popular, then you start like mouthing the words. Like, everyone's like, oh, Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On is like the sexiest song of all time. you can't actually put that song in the playlist, because if you're with someone, especially if it's like your first time, and all of a sudden you start hearing wimp, 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 and it just goes into it, you're just like, she'll start laughing. She'll start laughing. And just be like, really? You thought this song would get me? Like, yeah. So, yeah. Or like, Barry White, Can't Get Enough of Your Love. It's too on the nose. You have to get something that's got a good rhythm, a good beat, slow, good lyrics, but that you can't hear. My recommendation is, if you have Pandora, just say, play Portishead Pandora. Portishead, perfect. For me. I mean, unless you're into like really like 90s R&B or something like that. Portishead works for me.
I like that. That's a good recommendation. And listeners, you're already getting free advice here from Brad.
Yeah. Want to or not, on a topic you like or you don't like, that's fine.
The guys at Amazon are going to be like, there was a sudden surge for Portishead on Alexa. What's going on?
Portishead's really popular now. I mean, I don't know how popular your podcast is, but apparently very.
Oh, it's insanely, especially when it comes to sex tips. But I was going to say too, my wife, she's Brazilian, so she wasn't quite aware of the social stigmas of bands that are good, not good.
I'm just clapping because you have a Brazilian wife.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I still don't know how it happened, but so she's a big fan of Nickelback. So she's like, Alexa, when it's time to get dirty, she's like, can you play Photograph? And I'm like, no.
Oh, a song about like you're like reminiscing about your childhood. Oh yeah, that's good. That gets you in the mood. It at least do Rockstar
or yeah,
like I want a quesadilla. Ha ha. Like that's hot.
Yeah, that's true. I'll try and suggest that next time. She's the dominant one, but I'll try and suggest it.
Yeah. Well, but obviously.
I'll say it before she puts the gag in my mouth, but
sure.
Anyway, guys, welcome to a Comedy Advice Podcast. We are here chatting it up with the one, the only, Brad Williams. Yes, please applaud, ululate, be naked, however you want to celebrate.
Big applause. Yeah.
It's awesome to have you. By the way, this is Stefan speaking. We've also got our co-host, Eric. Say hello, Eric.
Howdy.
Awesome. And then Anthony.
It's like an Eric way of introducing yourself.
Howdy. Howdy. You don't see my 10-gallon hat and my snakeskin boots.
You can say hi. You can say happy to be here. You could say hi.
No, because Stefan gives me shit no matter what I say. So I got to mix it up.
Yeah, because you're Eric.
Well, at least we can see Eric. We've also got Stefan, my brother. That was a weird way of saying it.
Your brother also named Stefan?
Yeah. Already coming in with the shit talk. We've got Anthony, who doesn't have a video.
Wait, Anthony's there. Okay, we don't have to worry about him.
Anyway, Brad, thank you so much for joining. For the audience members that might not know who you are, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
I am a porn star with the largest dick in the world. That is.
It's a problem, isn't it? It's a burden.
Yeah. It drags on the ground. No. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I've got a couple specials on Showtime, which are now streaming on Amazon Prime. I was part of the Netflix Degenerates. I was once handcuffed to Ariana Grande for a week. That's a true story.
What?
I did her Nickelodeon TV show called Sam and Cat, and they did this weird, like, the kids' version of The Hangover, where she drinks this mystic Asian tonic to help her study, and then she just wakes up and I'm handcuffed to her, and she doesn't know how I got there. And I play a foreign person who we never say where I'm from, what language I'm speaking, because I made up the language. It's all gibberish.
Wow.
So yeah, I got to be on Sam and Cat. So it's always weird when I have, and that aired on Nickelodeon like 8 years ago. So it's very strange when I have friends that go like, hey man, saw you on Sam and Cat. And I'm like, you don't have kids. Why are you watching this show? You just go down Ariana Grande's IMDb and just like say, I'm going to do everything. Like, I don't get it.
I've got nothing to do. I'm quarantined. I'm just going down the whole catalog. Ariana Grande buffet.
Yeah. Like if you showed up, you know, it's like when you hear that porn stars, they start doing porn and then like their uncle calls him and goes, hey, I know you're doing porn. You're like, well, uncle, now I know what you're into. Like, cause you know what I mean? Like, especially if your uncle's like, I saw you doing blow bang. It's like, okay, so now I know that's what you do, uncle. Thanks. That's not fun.
Oh, God. I think that my parents might be one of the very few that haven't looked at porn. It may be just me convincing myself.
That just means they're into some real dirty shit. They're into some real... I'm not worried about the guy that says, yeah, I watch porn. I watch it a couple times a week. I watch it to help me masturbate. Me and the wife watch it. Helps get in the mood. I'm not worried about that guy. I'm worried about the guy that's like, porn? Porn? How you say? How's it pronounced? Porn.
Oh, it's a hard what's R. This? Porn. God.
Yeah. What's this? Pornography. What is this available somewhere? That person has a basement.
What is a boot cake?
and the water heater is not the only thing that's down there.
There's some of the people that still buy porn. They've got collections down in that basement.
Yeah. Oh, that one. And like, I would think that now you'd have to have like one of those like hidden doors for your porn collection. You know, like you do. Okay, you pull the book down and the thing rotates, and it's just all this like stuff from the 80s, like old Jenna Jameson stuff, Christy Canyon. Oh, you know, classics.
Yeah, the golden era. Oh God,
yeah, classic.
This is the only known copy without pages sticking together.
Until now.
Oh, yeah, man.
So definitely your parents watch some really kinky shit.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I can see it.
Yep.
I don't want to see it, but I can see
it. picturing it in our heads. Right?
I did one time walk in on them post-coitus, so thank God there was no movement, but I did accidentally walk into and they looked like a medieval oil painting where...
They were getting it. They were putting in some effort.
I think my dad was feeding my mom grapes at one point. It was just...
Wow. Were they just glistening? And
they were...
Anthony wants elaboration.
Yeah,
yeah, what details. The fuck?
Do they have sex like they're in the Trojan War? Or something?
My dad was playing the harp. They didn't have Alexa back then, so that was the playlist. Just my dad.
I had to go on the harp.
Toga.
Yeah. That's got to be like, I mean, out of all the instruments that guys take up, and guys only take up instruments to get laid, the harp has got us. Like, that's the worst idea. The harp, you know, because like a guitar, you'd be like, oh, you want to hear some brown eye? Like the harp, you got to like shove it in, you know, like open up a, like, no, you have to come into the harp room. It's not portable.
Can you imagine a guy walking around a college campus lugging a harp? He can't even carry it on his back. He's just dragging it with him.
He like drills some wheels on it. Like,
yeah.
Son of fucking Dolly.
What? Yeah. You want to hear Brown Eyed Girl?
You guys want to hear Wonderwall?
Oh, that's a word.
Oh, fuck. Well,
yeah, man.
We're going to ask you a little bit more about yourself. How did you end up getting into comedy?
I was 19 years old. I'm 36 now, which is like 72 in dwarf. Sorry, I haven't mentioned it yet. Those of you who don't know, I'm a dwarf, a little person of short stature. Okay, let's get beyond that. All right. I was 19 years old. I went to a comedy club, and the comedian on stage, I went Father's Day weekend 2005. No, 2004. 2004. And I saw the, I brought my dad, and the comedian on stage was making midget jokes, and half the audience was laughing, and the audience that was sitting by me was not laughing because I was there. They're like, and the comedian noticed that, and he goes, like, literally half the room is divided. This half of the room is not laughing. He goes, and he said on stage, he goes, "What? Is one of them here?" And I just raised my creepy little hand in the air, like, "Yeah, what's up?" And the comedian called me up on stage and started asking me questions. I answered the questions honestly. I did not try to get laughs, and my answers got laughs. Like, he asked me what I do for a living. At the time, I was 19 years old. I live in Orange County at the time. I was working at Disneyland, and I said I work at Disneyland. The audience starts laughing. I turn to the audience and I said, "Fuck you! I'm not one of the seven." And that's like the first laugh I got. And then from that was it, man. That was the drug where I was like, well, this is definitely what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. So I just started doing open mics after the 2 weeks after that. I did my first open mic at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, and then just did open mics forever. And then that you slowly work your way up, you catch a couple of breaks, you open for a couple of good guys, you maybe get on a TV show. It's, I mean, all that makes it sound very simple. The best part about stand-up comedy is there's only one way to get better at it. You can't read a book. You can't, you know, get one piece of advice. I'll give you whatever advice I can, but like, there's nothing I can say that can make an unfunny person funny. Nothing. So,
so you're saying we're fucked.
Yeah, if you're not funny, I'm sorry. It's like you can only get funny by doing it and then learning. So that's the beautiful thing about stand up is that the only way to get better is to do it. And the worst part about stand up is that the only way to get better is to do it, because you can't practice. You have to suck. You have to bomb. You have to learn from it. And and there are no shortcuts. There's no class you could take. Some people said, like, well, a comedy class can make you be funnier. Yes, because comedy class forces you to focus on comedy. That's it. Just focus on it. Focus on it. Perform it. Do it. And the only way you could ever know that a joke is good is by performing it in front of a live audience. During the pandemic, not a lot of options right now for like developing comics. It really sucks for them.
Damn. I was gonna say, I heard on Theo Von's podcast, I know that Jeff Dye and you jumped on because you guys are kind of some of the pioneers that are venturing out and starting to do those live shows again, which is awesome. I was gonna ask, what's the experience been like? Is it kind of like, I know that you have to keep working and working and working at it, and as you keep working at it, you get bigger venues, bigger stages, more people, etc. And is it like taking a step back in a sense where you're at this a big size venue, but it's half the people or it's a certain number of people?
Yeah, it harkens me back to like 6-7 years ago when I was headlining, because then I would sell about a third of the tickets. And now I'm selling about a third of the tickets because that's all that can happen in the room. So I'm not too far removed from those years to where it's not like, yes, it's weird to go on stage and look out of the audience and see two people sitting together. And then there's four empty seats and then another two people and then four empty seats. Like, and then some people are wearing masks. Yes, it's weird. It's weird. But I'm not that guy that's like, fuck it. Fill up the club. Don't wear a mask. Like, I'm not like it, or I'm not performing until it's full. Like, I can't do that. So my philosophy is I'd rather do it for a third of the people than no people, you know? So, and I know that the difference between me doing it now and me doing a room that was third full 6-7 years ago is that when I was doing a room a third full 6-7 years ago, those people weren't there to see me. They were just there because they're like, oh, it's a comedy club. Let's see if this is good. Or they got free tickets and some promotion. Now I have a third. I have a third of the room, but every single person is there to see me. They want to get out. They want to see Brad Williams. So they're very excited about that. So all the shows were great. I went to Oklahoma City, did Brickdown Comedy Club, and then I went to Wise Guys in Salt Lake City, and that was awesome. And I got and next week I'll be at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, come do
yes.
it.
And,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and like, as long as we're all taking, precautions to keep people safe, then I'm feeling comfortable. I'm one of those guys that's kind of in the middle. I don't think that everything should open up at full capacity and we should just be like, oh no, we're back to normal. Like, no, let's do, but I don't think we should just hide under our beds, you know, for a year until everything's gone. You know, people need to work, people need to eat, people need to get out there. So I'm kind of in the middle on it, but the shows were very exciting to do, and it felt like I legit almost burst into tears when the show was done, because there was a time at the beginning of this thing, I didn't think I was going to get to do stand-up ever again. I was sitting there like, wait, this might be done. My whole purpose in life might be over. I might be stuck just doing cameos for people that would, like, remember me. You know, for like, oh, remember that dwarf comic? He was pretty funny 10 years ago when there was stand-up comedy. Like, wow, I might have to get a job, you know, doing something else. I don't know. But, yeah, it was scary for a second. So to be able to come back and start doing shows again was really, really cool.
That's awesome. And I totally agree with you where being in the middle on it's a complicated issue where you've got, it seems like you can't put a stop to everything. And then there are also people, you have the mental health to think about where.
Yes.
This is really helpful for people to go out, enjoy a comedy show. Now, granted, not everybody. If you're at risk, you should probably take extra precautions.
Yeah. Stay home.
Yeah.
Stay home. If you're elderly, if you live with someone who's at risk or is elderly, okay. You're like, maybe you don't get to do this kind of stuff yet. And for people that go, well, that's not fair. Yeah. I wanted to be a pro athlete, but turns out midgets aren't the best pro athletes, so I couldn't do that. Like, it's not, life isn't fair. You kind of adjust. You kind of do what you need to do, you know?
Right.
For those people, I don't know, find the comics that are doing virtual shows. I don't know. It's like, listen to hilarious podcasts like this and support the sponsors. That's what you do. It's rough, and we'll eventually get back to normal once, you know, there's a vaccine or herd immunity, or the numbers are just so low that we don't care about it anymore, or we learn more about the virus and potentially how it's not what we thought it was, maybe. But yeah, we'll get back there. But for now, I'm gonna keep touring, keep doing shows, and then keep getting tested when I come home.
That's awesome. And I was going to say, congratulations. I know I'm 5 months late, but you just had a newborn daughter. And
hey, trust me, 5 months late is still, that's still a newborn. Until she can like shit on her own without me having to do anything, then she is a baby. She's a newborn. So yes.
Fair.
Yeah. And this is the first child. So I mean, there is never a good time for a global pandemic, but if I had to pick a time, it would be for me personally, it would be right now, because I get to stay home and be with my infant daughter. And I've heard all these stories from comics that are like, yeah, I saw my daughter when she was born. Next week I was on the road, saw her again when she was like nine, you know, or like something.
Yeah.
Like this. They're not there for those moments. So I'm glad I get to be here for that kind of stuff and here for these moments. And, I'll tell her stories of the pandemic as she grows up.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. And I was going to ask too, I know there's no substitute for comedy or stand up comedy going up there and actually doing it. But before comedy clubs started reopening, what were you doing to, I mean, if you were doing anything to kind of keep up with?
Tweets. I was doing funny tweets. I did join Cameo. So if you want to book me to give a shout out to somebody, or the funniest one I did was a lesbian couple had broken up and some girl hired me to tell her ex-girlfriend that her pussy was stanky. that was my favorite.
How did you get into character for that one?
I just remembered some ex-girlfriends. I was good to go. Yeah, I did that. I did a couple virtual shows, and it's weird. The virtual shows are weird. I've heard some comics on podcasts talk about how much they suck and they'll never do them. For me though, I got a newborn daughter. I made money on the virtual shows. I wish I could have just sat back and been like, well, I got $20 million in the bank. You know, I could do whatever, but I don't have that option. So I had to figure something out. So I did. So I did virtual shows, which are not stand-up comedy, but it's close. If stand-up comedy is heroin, virtual shows are the methadone. It's just kind of gets you by.
Nice. Until that next break. I like it. Cool. Well, thank you, Brad. We're going to get into the self-help portion now. Unless there's anything else you'd like to say, we'll plug everything at the end too. But
Well, all I'll say is that I'm on this podcast, and one thing that this podcast, this time has really taught you, if someone doesn't do your podcast now, they don't like you. You know what I mean? Because before you could be like, oh, I'm so busy. I'm on the road. I got flights. I got fun. I got that. I got shows. I got bet. Now it's like, nah, you got nothing. You're home. You're fine. We can do it on Zoom. You can do it from your bedroom. And so if you're still not coming on the podcast, it's because you don't like the person. You don't like the podcast. Or the person didn't ask in a nice – you guys at least asked in a nice way. Like, I don't know you guys, but it's always weird when you go on a podcast you don't know, because you have to do a little bit of research just so you're not on a podcast and then like you laugh it up and think you had a great time, and then they tag you in some tweets like, hey, it's Alt-Right Fridays and today our guest is Brad Williams. Like, whoa, yeah. No! I didn't know that.
Oh my God. Fuck that, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
exactly.
Yeah, you do a little research. So I looked up your podcast, read some reviews, and I was like, all right, these guys don't seem like they're serial killers.
Well, anyway, it's time for our next segment. Self-help for the alt-right. So
how to cut holes in your clan hood.
In five steps or less. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it, everybody.
All right. We're going to get into the self-help portion, but before we answer these questions, we're going to fuel ourselves with inspiration from a motivational quote from, well, before we get into it, we like to ask our guests if they have any inspirational quotes that help them get through their days when they're having tough times. So do you have any, Brad, any inspirational quotes that bring light to your dark days?
I have two. One quote is, nobody cares about you. Now that seems very dark. It seems like that would make dark days darker, but I like that quote. It was told to me by a improv comic, because I started talking about all the, improv and what if I fuck up? The audience is going to hate me. The audience is thinking I'm stupid and they don't like my outfit and they can't look past the fact that I'm a little person. But and the comic just stopped me and went, Brad, nobody cares about you. Nobody. So they're all worried that they're all in their own heads about the stuff they're doing. So when the world, like when you get too much in your head, like, oh, I can't do this because people are not going to like me, I can't do this bit because they're thinking it's too close to my last album. That was nobody cares. Nobody. No one's thinking that much about it.
I like that. I think I might use that one next time my wife asks me if the dress makes her look fat. I'll be like, no one cares about you.
Does the dress make me look fat? Why does it matter? I'm taking you to dinner and I'm going to try to have sex with you afterwards. Why are you worried? Why are you concerned with this? I don't get it. Yeah. And then the second quote is, everything in your life turned out exactly the way it did, whether you worried about it or not. And I don't know who said it, but I really like it. And it's exactly what it means. It's why stress yourself out and worry about things when it's not going to change the outcome. You stressing yourself out, you worrying, doesn't make one thing go one way or the other. So yeah, those are my two quotes.
Man, those are some good quotes compared to the hot garbage fire we got coming.
My
inspirational quote is always check the condom for holes. That's my quote.
That's actually a step up from what we've got. So as we the powerful quotes from Brad resonate, we're going to introduce our quote from a robot called Inspirobot. So what it does is it actually uses AI to take some of the wisest words known to man and mesh them together for a tasty, inspirational quote.
Love it.
All right. Eric, would you like to read this week's quote?
This week's quote. Only if you believe in your own inner beauty will you get naked flesh.
That sounds like something that some hot girl would write on her Instagram post. And you're like, wait, what? Am I supposed to be inspired? Am I supposed to be hard? Like, what? How is this supposed to work?
What about you, Eric? What does this quote scream to you?
I think this is just another way of saying Brad's quote of nobody cares. If you believe that nobody cares, then you'll have the confidence to get that naked flesh.
Can we all agree?
Now, when they say get that naked flesh, it's like, if you believe nobody cares, you going to tap that ass. Like, is it that, or is it like you'll be confident to walk around naked? Because I don't know if I like that either way.
Or what if it's like a Hannibal Lecter angle?
That's
the flesh part was pushing me in that direction.
You got a freezer full of
naked
date.
Flesh.
When Tinder dates.
Yeah, when I went out with my bros when I was single, I never went, bro, let's go out and chase some naked flesh.
That sounds like something like if there was a movie and like the alien was trying to appear like he was human, he'd be like looking at you like, hello, bros, let's go get naked flesh.
Do you guys have some sugar water and naked flesh?
Yeah. Reference. Solid.
Yeah, I was hoping that you guys would remember that far back.
Of course.
Fuck. All right, guys. I feel that now that we're fueled and motivated, we can go on to the questions. So we've got two. The first one, it's a question from Reddit, and it's found by our very own fan, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. This question reads, the color orange disgusts me. I really need to know that I'm not the only person who feels like this. Anytime I see the color orange, it makes me want to throw up, and I have no idea why. This has bothered me for years, and I don't think I'll ever be okay with the color. Any advice? Sincerely, color me disgusted, just not orange.
Don't be a Denver Broncos fan. That would suck. I hope you don't live in Colorado, or I hope you don't live in Colorado, and I hope you don't live in Syracuse or Knoxville, Tennessee, because that's orange centric.
Or India, that's the flag.
Oh, yeah, right. How would you get over the fear of orange? I'm wondering if it's just trial by fire, where you just got to go, like, somebody paints a room orange, chuck me in the middle of it, and slide food underneath the door for like
orange,
three
only days. Oranges.
Yeah. Just throw oranges at you.
Orange slices.
Yeah. Maybe it, yeah. I don't know. I don't do well with the irrational fears. I'm not good because I'm the guy that's like, fucking get over it. You know what I mean? Like I'm that guy. I don't know why I became Bill Burr for a half a second. I didn't fucking get over it. But yeah, like I don't do well with the people that fear, like, I have a fear of toothpaste. All right. So I'm not gonna kiss you.
Yeah, I can smell that. Yeah.
It shows.
Yeah, fear of oranges. Thanks.
Yeah. No, maybe you're right. Just trial by fire. Just go into an all orange room, get pelted with oranges, maybe on the naked flesh too, so it really stings.
It makes me so happy.
Get a spray tan.
That I fear normal things like, you know, death, failure, like stuff like that. And that it's not like, oh, we're driving over a bridge. Don't hold on. I got to go around it. I can't. I'm saying that because I have a friend who's like that. I've
never driven around a bridge, but I do get, no. Heights. I'm afraid of heights. And so
yeah.
I used to have dreams where I would fall and then I'd hit the ground and I wouldn't die, but I would jolt in real life hard enough to empty, I was going to say my bowels. I didn't shit my pants.
What happened? He's having the dream.
Did he fall again in the dream? No,
yeah.
But I did piss my pants. So I did have to wear diapers, I think, from 9 years old to 11 years old. Anthony remembers that fondly.
So that was your own personal 9/11?
No, that was
never forget, Steph.
I'm never gonna do better than that joke, by the way.
Wow. End podcast. We wrap it up, boys. We're done here.
Thank you very much, everybody. Yeah.
I can't top that joke. Just so you
know.
Wow.
I like telling jokes.
Anyway, yeah, I think we kind of answered that one. Eric or Anthony, did you guys have anything you wanted to add?
No, I really like the orange room idea. That's gold.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, are they afraid of the color red? And if not, I want to take them to a paint store and take them to the swatch wall and color gradient just until, okay, how about go slightly oranger and really dial it in. Where are they freaked out?
Right. No,
get that burnt orange and be like,
yeah, like this is blood orange. Good with it? You all right?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
It's just all the area between brown and yellow.
So, okay. And then once we figure that out, I don't know what we do with that information, but it would be interesting.
Right.
But it makes me think of in nature, if you see like an orange snake, you're like, yeah, don't pick that up. It's probably venomous. Right. So maybe there's something to that there.
Okay. Well,
maybe being afraid of orange is an okay thing.
Keep the fear if you're ever in Australia.
Yeah.
Just don't touch anything in Australia.
Good. Solid.
All right. Good. Moving on to the next question. Question two. This is also from Reddit. It's from our fan, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Oh, boy. This question is, I rubbed my genitals on money and handed it to someone when I was a teenager. It's not really a question, but let's go on. When I was a teenager, I ordered pizza for me and my friend. Before I opened the door for Pizza Guy, I put the money in my underwear and rubbed it against my balls and gooch area. The delivery person opens the door, and before I can stop her, she takes the money from my hand and smiles and says, thanks. I close the door feeling like a horrible person, an idiot, for a prank that I thought my friend would laugh at. I still feel bad about that to this day, and I have changed and been a better person since then. I spoke to my therapist about it, and she agreed that it was weird, but that teenagers do a lot of crazy and wild things. How can I atone for the dollar bill thing? Sincerely, looking for inner peace.
You have to take a job at Papa John's during this pandemic, and you got to start delivering pizzas. It's got to come full circle. You know, you got to atone for your sins. And don't rub the pizza on your balls before giving.
Or we're going to have the cycle starts all over.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's, first of all, it's very gross what you did, but I get it. Teenagers do stupid things. But yeah, I think you need to be a server in the service industry, and you have to deal with people. And that is your atonement, because you will – you will tip better after that. You will be nicer. You will be the nicest person anyone will ever, like, all my friends that are waiters, waitresses, they all tip way more than people that weren't in the service industry because they know what that life is. So you now have to know what that life is. You have to have some people do some dumb shit to you. And just so you know, pizza guys, it's not like the pornos. You don't get to go in and, oh, does the pizza have extra sausage? Yeah, it does right here. No, that doesn't happen. Occasionally, you'll get a fat guy answer the door naked on a dare, but that's about the closest thing you're going to come to.
That's the closest you'll come to naked flesh. But other than that, you got to do your time taking the gooch money, I think, because as one gives... Yes, atone. I like that. I totally agree with that, by the way, I don't know if you were saying exactly this, but I think everyone should do maybe 6 months to a year mandatory of customer service, working as a waiter, working at Starbucks.
Get in there.
Dude, because I worked as a barista and I worked at Starbucks in New Jersey for a year, and that was a fucking nightmare.
Are we just going to gloss over the fact that you pronounced it barista?
Wait, supposed to?
No, we shouldn't do that. Well, what the fuck are you saying, Stefan?
It's a barista. Why did you go, I worked as a barista? That's how you said it. Check the tape.
It's a regional thing. That's how Cottonwood Arizonians speak.
We are from the same family. I don't think I've ever said barista.
I think I say things...
You're like that one douche that says, I was feeling low on energy, so I bought myself a chocolate bar. You're like, what? What's wrong with you?
I'm also the guy that has his name spelled Steven, but says it's pronounced Stefan. So that's the exact
kind of... Were you about to say you speak Italian?
I was going to say.
If you're in the same room, I would have slapped the shit out of you. Stefan has this thing where he likes to tell every person he meets that he speaks Italian.
Well, it's fucking...
Yes.
It's Brad Williams. I got to let him know that I speak Italian.
I heard you start to fucking say it, and it annoyed me, so I had to bring it up. Were you going to say it's because you speak Italian? Like the accent?
Yeah, that's how they say barista. It. They say barista. Barista.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Now I know why people treat you like shit when you're a barista. Deal with customer service, and because you probably were like, hey, my name is Stefan. I'd be a barista today. And then everyone's like, fuck you. Put cream in my coffee, dipshit.
They're like,
here's your espresso. Yeah. They're like, it says espresso with an X on the sign. Don't say espresso.
It's a pronounced frappuccino. Frappuccino. And they're like, God damn it, just give me my fucking drink.
Man, you just talking like that makes me never want to play Mario. I don't want to hear that voice.
Oh, that's how I learned Italian.
Fuck off.
The professor's like, okay, now we speak in the Italian accent. Oh, it's a me.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were that guy that's like, that when someone ordered a medium, you're like, you mean a venti?
Oh, do you mean a grande? Oh God, I hate myself. I'm gonna have to edit this later, and
won't. No, do not take this out.
Anthony, make sure he leaves this in. Eric, go full it. Eric on him. Okay,
more Eric than I've ever Eric'd.
You should never go full Eric.
Okay, as we say in Italian, va bene. So what else do you have to say about this, Anthony?
I really liked how the therapist agreed that it was weird, because every therapist I've been to, like, you tell them some fucked up shit and they're like, that's normal, like you
I've heard worse.
You shouldn't feel weird about that, and they're like, nah man, you crossed the fucking line. Like, what is wrong with you?
So he
made their personal diary that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking freak rubbed nuts on my and diary entry. Yeah.
And gooch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a therapist where someone once said, yeah, I eat my own poop, and they had to act like they weren't shocked. And then you told a story about rubbing money on your balls, and they're like, yeah, oh God, that's fucked up. Like, that's, you broke this therapist.
That therapist was thinking, did he pay me in cash?
Oh God. Oh. Gooch money.
Well done, Eric. Well done. Great joke.
Nice.
Fantastic.
All right.
So go work in the service industry. That is your penance.
Beautiful. All right, good. Oh. All right. Eric, anything else?
I think once they've served their penance at the Papa John's and that's done with, they then need to go and get a job where the currency is made, right? Because they defiled the money as well. Someone made that money.
Oh, taking the full steps here. Okay, so go to the Royal Mint, is it called here? Or the Federal Mint?
The Mint makes coins, but...
I hope he wasn't rubbing coins on his gooch.
Oh,
yeah. Man. Yeah, he paid in nickels.
This guy, he really was an asshole.
The worst part about that story is if he paid in coins.
I hope he did and then got some sort of metal poisoning on his balls. And
I got nickel poisoning.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
It's like a weird James Bond villain origin story.
Absolutely.
I feel like this guy's a sweet guy, though. Hear me out. The fact that he did make a mistake and now he's trying to atone for it, and years later, he still remembers this. And he's trying to atone for it. Because I can't remember. Maybe I rubbed my gooch on some stuff and gave it to people. I don't. It's just those teenage years are a blur. So
yeah,
I feel like the fact that this guy's pointing this out and trying to atone for it gives me hope that the world is going to be a better, less tainted place.
Oh, God damn it.
Why'd you have to use...
But, And that's our show. Brad, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciated having you. I was chuckling and chortling all the time. Thank you so much. Where can people find you?
Gentlemen, I got a good laugh. Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. Check out my tour dates. It changes kind of by the week with this whole thing. Some places are open, some places aren't. So please call the clubs, talk to them before you head out there. But yeah, BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Instagram at BradWilliamsComic. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And book me on Cameo, and I'll tell your ex-girlfriend that her pussy was thank you.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brad. We really appreciate it. All those links are going to be in the show notes for your upcoming show, especially at Stand Up Live in Phoenix. And yeah, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, dude. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, everyone, except Eric. All right. Cool. Deuces.
Later, man.
Later.